It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports and your home for Fesco and Dusty with Mac Moore, executive producer. Chiefs Bills on Sunday, 325 CBS, Romo and Nance.
Look out, Jim!
Oh, he's got it back. Got it back.
Look out, Jim!
So, getting a lot of responses. Pineapple on pizza is okay.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Absolutely not okay.
You know how your friend brought a thing of sour cream? Can I bring some pineapples tonight to Jasper's?
What are you going to put it on?
Pasta.
God.
I am going to get the lobster ravioli, though. I've already decided.
Pineapple on pasta?
Oh, baby. Pineapple just gets me there.
Are like, you serious?
I love pineapple.
You've never put pineapple on pasta.
No. But I would.
Oh, God.
I always eat pineapple before a big date. It's a citrus cleanser. It makes me feel good.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Pervert. I think baseball is making a strong comeback. Obviously, there was news yesterday about...
Would you have said that if the Royals had won 56 games again?
Yes, because it wouldn't fit what I'm about to play. Because I think there's a good football comparison with the way baseball is being played now. I mean, it's never going to be the NFL, so let me pump the brakes there for all of you listening. I don't think baseball will ever get to what it was in 98, 99, and 2000. I think that was probably the last time baseball will get that high. But there is reasons why it is coming back.
Attendance in baseball was up almost 5% this year from a year ago, so right. People are going back to the ballpark, yeah.
Or what about shortstop? Shortstop's so interesting. I watched, Harold, I watched Bobby Witt Jr. He was the first player that I hadn't really seen, and then I got to see him for a whole game in person. He moves different. He's different. You talk about tools. Mm-hmm. It's like he's on springs when he runs. Boing, boing, boing. And he's a big body, just gets to everything, the range. He's a different, special player.
I think this is the toughest category in the whole sport because... Lindor had an amazing season.
Yes,
Gunnar Henderson had an amazing season. Bobby Witt Jr., you just talked about. Ellie De La Cruz is the most exciting player in the game.
What's his ceiling? Because we haven't seen it yet.
We have not seen it. There was a big campaign to move him off a shortstop.
What do you say to that?
Hitting. What is wrong with people? My goodness.
I knew you were going to say that.
We would have never seen what we saw if we were listening to the naysayers. It's a position that develops. And as I look at this, you know, Corey Seager had the injury. Willie Adames had a big full season with power. Every guy you can make an argument for. But I think the one guy who fits every category from beginning to end is Bobby Witt Jr.
Love to hear that. When you hear that about Bobby Witt Jr. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why the Royals didn't just win 56 games. There's a reason why they're a better team. They're a better team because they have the right manager, the right ownership, and the right general manager. But they're also a better team because they have that superstar. They have what the Chiefs have. The Chiefs don't have to go into, and Bob just mentioned something to me off the air. Isn't it awesome to not have to have what these other towns are talking about? Like in Indianapolis, they have to worry about, is it Flacco or Richardson this week? Well, it's Richardson. You know, you don't have to worry about that.
Like in baseball, you don't have to worry about your superstars. And in baseball, when you have that superstar, your team is easier to build around. Look at the Royals right now. There's a reason that Seth Lugo came over here. They could promise him that we have Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, which then brought in Michael Wacha, which then kept Michael Wacha, which then is now going to get Cole Reagans to be even better because he's surrounded by that talent. And you look at what shortstops are in the MLB and why the MLB is getting a little bit of an uptick. Oh, there's the big boss. I wonder if she heard this cuss.
Uh-oh. She's up here looking for Mac.
She's up here
looking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You better get Momo on the phone.
Yeah. We need some Momo. But am I wrong to say that the shortstop position is similar to the quarterback position in the NFL?
Not at all. It's the identical position.
Ellie De La Cruz is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Right? Flashy, entertaining.
Who's Patrick Mahomes then, though, with all the championships, right?
Oh.
Because that's the way I look at it.
Like, I don't look at it from the championship standpoint. Okay. I look at it from the build and the body, okay. And that's Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
Right? Patrick Mahomes can scramble when need to. Bobby Witt Jr. can steal if he wants. Patrick Mahomes can throw for power. He can throw for precision. Bobby Witt Jr. can do all of that as mm-hmm. well. Bobby Witt Jr. is a leader, and Bobby Witt Jr. is a free space on a bingo card of a franchise where you're like, so who's your shortstop in the most important position to field? Bobby Witt Jr. Okay.
There's a lot of those in baseball right now, and that's the real reason why baseball's back, because your premier position has premier players.
And they're good, you know? And they're young, and they're young, relatable.
And they're fun, and like the whole thing about Ellie De La Cruz, mm-hmm. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr.,
Francisco Lindor, Corey Seager.
I mean, there's so many great shortstops. Why do you think the NFL is where it is right now? Because you've got these quarterbacks that can go out there and do unbelievable things. It's a quarterback league, and they're young and they're good. And, you know, people, you know, are starting to find them in different cities, and mm-hmm. cities like Buffalo and Kansas City and Cincinnati mm-hmm. and Baltimore have arguably the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, and none of them are a big market at all. Mm-hmm. And you start to look at the great shortstops, Baltimore, Kansas City, you know, Cincinnati, obviously the Mets. But, you know, you've got a situation where you're having a renaissance in baseball because the most important, flashiest, fun position has the flashiest, fun guys playing that position right now. And it hadn't been like that in a long time. Take this group of shortstops out. I mean, Jeter was good, wasn't flashy. A-Rod was moved to third. Miguel Tejada was a fun player to watch, but nothing like this. Like, we're in a quarterback renaissance in the NFL, and I think we have begun that shortstop renaissance in Major League Baseball. And they always say in baseball, you got to be strong up the middle. Catcher, shortstop, and center field. Mm-hmm. The Royals got two of those three pretty much figured out, and, you know, Bono's no slouch out in center field either, you know? So you've got That's the good. Makings of a really, really good team because you're strong at the most important positions on the field. But I remember, like, I feel like being as a kid, you'd see all these great baseball players. They were all shortstops, the Ozzie Smiths back in the day, right? Like, you look at those guys like, man, I want to be like that guy. Shortstop is that position. What?
Just Kyle Isbell and Bono just hit me at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Kling was saying that for years. They got Bono out there in center field. I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah. 18 Keurigs is how much he weighs. But also, Bobby Witt Jr. did something that's like a Patrick Mahomes stat this year, right? Batting title, Silver Slugger, yeah. and a Gold Glove all in the same season. Only been done once in a career.
In a career
by a shortstop. That was Alex Rodriguez.
Not a season. A career.
And Bobby did it in one year.
In 1 year.
Yeah.
Won all three in 1 year. Nobody else has ever done that.
That's why he's like a Mahomes type.
Yeah.
And by the way, he plays in Kansas City.
Yeah.
In the same parking lot as Patrick Mahomes.
Can a shortstop carry a team like a quarterback? Can or do sure. you need more surrounding cast in baseball sure. than you do in football? I think you need more of a surrounding cast in baseball than you do in football.
Because
you know?
In baseball, you need parts.
Yeah.
In football, I mean, Mahomes did it last year, right? I mean, he had a defense. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of like his rotation.
But it's hard to win in baseball as an individual player because you don't control. You really have four chances for the most part as an individual player, not a pitcher,
right.
But a player to influence a game in baseball.
Yeah, and somebody in the text line says it reminds him of the Nomar Jeter A-Rod era.
Yeah, a little bit, but this is flashier than that. Those were guys in bigger markets.
And those guys were older.
Yeah.
Like, Jeter didn't really come into his own until he was like 30.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like 27. But, I mean, he started, he was terrible his first year, came back his second year, was decent. Third year, he kind of figured out, and then the Yankees, and he got ugly during arbitration, which I remember watching that documentary of him and A-Rod. By the way, when they signed A-Rod, Jeter made it a rule that he will not move from shortstop.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
he was like, I'm not moving. And they're like, this is the best shortstop in baseball.
That's
like,
nice.
I don't care.
I'm Derek Jeter, number two. I'm the captain. Yeah. See you at third, A-Rod. And I don't like you anyway. So, no, yeah. I think the shortstop obviously is that position. I love the fact that we've seen so many great shortstops. Like the last couple of years.
You have Bobby Wood Jr. who could be Patrick Mahomes. Gunnar Henderson who could be Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You got
Ellie De La Cruz who could be Lamar. I mean, who else do we have?
Joe Burrow is what? Corey Seager?
Sure. Fine.
I mean, good. Clutch.
And Ellie De La Cruz is probably the most athletic of, like, watching that guy play is a different type of baseball player.
I'd love to see him and Bobby do like seven different skill challenges. Like, if you wanted to make the All-Star game and like appeasing and entertaining, have like De La Cruz and Bobby Witt square off in like a 40-yard dash, a home run derby, like some sort of triathlon thing for like baseball players. And yeah. I don't know who would win.
Yeah. I mean, who wins around the bases?
De La Cruz, I think. It's close.
I would have said Bobby, but I don't know. I mean, it would have been.
De La Cruz is longer, and I think that's the only advantage he has.
That's a good call.
Like, Bobby
there.
Went home to third in 11.1 or 11.9. De La Cruz just has that stride.
I love watching Ellie De La Cruz, too. He's so much fun to watch. God, think about that, though. Cincinnati has their quarterback and their shortstop. Kansas City has their shortstop and their quarterback, right?
Right.
I mean, it's wild when you think about the small market teams that are out there in the small, quote-unquote, revenue teams, smaller cities. I mean, the Reds are locked down at the two most important positions in their sports, and the Royals and Chiefs are locked down at the two most important positions in their sports for a long time to come.
Yeah, you have a three-man rotation for the Royals, a shortstop and a catcher. And in the Chiefs, you have a defense, you have a quarterback, and you have a tight end.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's great, man. It's so much fun to watch these guys. I love the fact that the shortstop is having that renaissance of a position.
It's great, cool, man. Yeah. It's like,
and they can all hit because in the 80s, these guys could play defense, but nobody could hit. And then A-Rod and Jeter kind of changed.
And that's an important
thing
is that, you know, people say, well, baseball stats are ruined because everybody just wants a three-run homer. All these shortstop hit they're all five tool.
Yeah.
They're all fast. They're all, you know, defensively sound, power, average. Like, De La Cruz can hit it to the moon. So can Bobby.
I just wish baseball would find a way to make its offseason as exciting as the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah, that's got you irked a little bit.
It does because...
It gives you a lot of fantasy football owner vibes. Like, you don't get to have this guy because I drafted him. Well, you don't own them. You don't care about them.
Yeah, but I just wish that, like, the free agent market hit fast, goes quick. You know, it's impactful. Like, I think... Like, I saw something again today. Soto's getting close to signing somewhere, right?
Baston.
And if he signs, does that have the trickle-down effect? And does everybody else start signing? Probably not. Because Scott Boras still controls this thing, and he's the worst thing to happen to baseball of all time.
And then what's the news yesterday that they were going to go to Amazon Prime, but we don't know that for sure now?
Well, now some of the Diamond Sports Group's teams are going to Amazon Prime, but the Royals, what I read at Awful Announcing, still do not have a deal figured out with Diamond Sports Group to air their games because of all the bankruptcy stuff that is going on. So they may have to renegotiate with Diamond Sports Group, but Diamond Sports Group is moving all of their games to Amazon, which is, I said to you yesterday, what's the difference between Amazon and the Bally's app?
None.
Right.
Because
Amazon, you're going to have to pay for it. It's not going to be free if you're on Amazon.
Gold tweeted and said something about that where he was like, there'd be an additional charge, obviously, if you got it.
Right.
So it'd probably be $15-$20 on top of... Whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
But
per
I think
month.
The big difference is everybody's already got Amazon. So you just have to log in and go to like, it's like,
you're right.
If you have the NFL network, you get Red Zone because it's just right there, toggle, yes, subscribe, boom, done. I can end it when it's done. So I think that's the biggest difference.
I think it is too. And I think, you know, people are like, they like to surf. And if you're on Amazon, you can do that. But I think, look, Major League Baseball just needs to streamline this whole thing and take it all in house and say, this is what we're doing. $99, you can get every game. $120 includes your out of market game as well for the year. And call it a day, man. And let's just be done with it. And if you could just pay $120 and get every baseball game, including your in-market game, on a streaming platform like Amazon, I think it would be very successful. Again, we're still making it difficult for people to figure out where to go for their games, right? Do I need to go to the Diamond Sports app? Is it all going to be just on Amazon? What if I have, you know, like, there's so many hoops to jump through with this thing. And then I read on Awful Announcing that the Royals still don't have a deal in place with Diamond Sports Group. Whether that's the truth or not, I don't know. But all this bankruptcy stuff, they're reorganizing with every team. They haven't gotten to the Royals yet.
I just want it back on 38th spot. Holly Starr, 38th spot.
And then you're getting no money, and then we can't pay Bobby Witt. So, you know.
No doubt about it. You lose some, you win some. Coming on the other side, a guy who always seems to win, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, will join Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Mac Morey and Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Mount up. It's 8:30. We're halfway through the show. We got one more for Friday, and then it's off to the weekend, which we all love so much and dear because it's such a fun time. By the way, Chiefs are underdogs this weekend. If you haven't noticed, they are +2 on the spread. The Chiefs win 70% of the time as underdogs, and the rest of the NFL wins 65% of the time.
Wow, I thought it would be a bigger number for the Chiefs and a smaller number for the rest of the NFL.
That's crazy. 1 versus 31. That's still pretty wild.
I mean,
31% of the 31 total teams only have a 65%, but one team has 70% chance of the underdog.
But 65% of the teams of underdogs are winning this year?
That's what it says.
Wow. Patrick Mahomes, 11-3 as an underdog.
Solid. So you gonna bet the Chiefs this weekend?
Oh, of course. You bet the Chiefs every weekend.
You do interesting bets. Like, you'll do stuff that, like, you're almost, like, positive it's going to hit. Like your Coach of the Year one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's one.
I like the long-term play on those. You know, I like the futures bets.
I wonder what the odds are right now for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Do you think it's plus or minus? Has to be plus?
It has to be plus.
Yeah, it'll be plus.
I think it was, like, plus 400 the last I saw.
Because they're +2 against Buffalo. Make it make sense.
Buffalo has home field. People are feeling like it has to happen. And this is, I guess, I don't know. I don't know
why.
Is
this the first time they've been underdogs all year?
I think San Francisco, they started as an underdog, but I don't know that they went into the game as an underdog.
No, I think going into that game, I think that's right. I think it was -1.5 for San Fran.
Well, they were the favorite in that game.
Because it was the same as the previous two Super Bowls. It was right around that 1.5-2.
Yeah.
So Chiefs win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Chiefs will win the football game. But I think just to kind of keep it interesting maybe for the gambling markets because they know everybody's going to be, I don't know, on Buffalo. I don't know. It's interesting.
I think it's interesting as well when we talk about Mahomes versus Allen because both are 1-2 in my mind in quarterbacks. They both know how to, like, manage their offense to a T. And Patrick Mahomes might have, like, figured out the secret code. And that code is not turning the ball over in time of possession.
It all matters.
Because their time of possession is second in the NFL this year at 32 minutes per game.
It feels like it's, you know, 1995 all over again in the NFL because you went through the rushing numbers off the air with us. And you're like, the Chiefs are like 15th in the NFL, is that what you said?
They are 21st in rushing yards, and they rush for an average of 115 a game.
Okay, so that's 21st. Yeah. Like 2 years ago, you didn't see
that.
That's
considered bottom of the league in rushing, but we watch every game. We're like, man, this team really knows how to run the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, you like the run football when it's working for you and you're able to stop the run. But like I said, it feels like 1995 all over again. Stop the run the football, control the clock.
And they're number one on third down conversion rates of 52%.
Move the chains.
So they have the ball for more than half of the game. They convert on third down and they don't allow points. That is the recipe to continue to be undefeated.
Yeah, this is a 1995 offensive football team where they just methodically move the ball down the field. They're not, like, I think they have the fewest big chunk plays this year in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken.
The least explosive plays.
Yeah. The Chiefs are the least explosive offense in the NFL.
Less than the Panthers.
That's right.
Less than the Giants. Yeah, absolutely.
The Chiefs are the least explosive team in the NFL, 9-0. Cool. And that's awesome. Why, like, we start to look at the way that things kind of shape up, and that's why it's so important to have a roster that is good on both sides of the ball. And not just good, but great on both sides of the ball, because you have to be able to win other than just going up over the top and winning games in that, you know, fashion. Now, a lot of it is circumstance, because you lost Hollywood Brown, you lost Rashi Rice, you know, you lost Isaiah Pacheco, and then we got to week 3. And so you lost all of these guys where you probably thought you were going to have more of an explosive offense. But again, this is another reason, and I just continue to make the case for Andy Reid to be Coach of the Year. You went into the season with plan A, and now here you are with, like, plan D, and you're still undefeated, and you're still 9-0. If anybody else is coaching this team, they are not 9-0. They are 9-0 because Andy effing Reid is coaching this team, and he's better than everybody else at adjusting. He doesn't see ghosts. He doesn't panic. He doesn't freak out. Okay, we lost another guy, so what? And that's been my attitude. And I know some people say I'm arrogant or whatnot, but I'm like, nah, I got Andy Reid leading the show. And as long as this guy's leading the show and doing what he needs to do, this team's going to be just fine. Nobody could do this in the NFL the way that the Chiefs are doing it right now, and it is because of Andy Reid.
And you obviously could guess the number one and number two teams in rushing are the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
They have running backs that are studs, and they also have quarterbacks that run. Baltimore has 182 yards rushing per game. Philadelphia is 179 or something like that.
It's insane. It's insane.
So there's a gap right now. That's why they're 21st.
But still, it's 21st, dude. Yeah. It's not like we're saying, oh, they're third in the NFL at 115 rushing yards per game. They're 21st in the NFL. Is every team in the league averaging 100 yards per game rushing now?
No.
Look, thinking about future bets for you, Bob. Chiefs to beat the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl plus 1400.
Mm. Well, that's a good future.
That's a good future.
There you go. Speaking of the future, let's get into the now with Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on there, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
Sounds like a Tony Hawk pro skater game. Every time I play this, or Mac plays this, Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Let's start this off quickly, Nate. Congratulations on adding another Taylor to the family, buddy. We got a new child join the household of the Taylor home. Congratulations, my guy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, fellas. We've been obviously
and is Dan Kilgore gonna play?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Fine. Yeah. No, we've been waiting a few weeks to share it, and thank you for acknowledging it. Yeah, we're gonna have a baby boy.
Oh boy,
he might arrive the week of the draft. So
we'll be picking last. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you already know. Picking 32nd, gonna take a defensive lineman out of somewhere I don't know, and then you know whatever. Yeah.
So it's great. Holly's doing amazing.
Awesome.
It's a great thrill to have this great news.
Damn, so Wimbledon must have been really fun for Nate Taylor.
Hey man. Hey, Europe kids. Yeah. Hey, if you wanna add to your family, gentlemen, take your wife to Italy. Take your wife to Europe.
I did. We figured out that problem though a long time ago. So yeah, we're good to go.
If Bob's wife is expecting, we got some big problems, man.
Major problems, yeah. So let's look at the game this week. Chiefs underdogs, as we were just kind of talking about. Why do you think they are the underdog in this game?
Oh, I think they're the underdog because people are desperately hoping, wishing, lusting for the Bills to win this game.
Yep.
And I think you guys know this too. Most of us are smart enough to realize that, like, just because the line is set doesn't necessarily mean that's predictive of how the game's going to go. It's some ways designed to get you to bet, right? So I can understand why people were like, oh my God, I get Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as an underdog, because we just saw what happened the last time that occurred, right? It was ahead of the San Francisco 49ers game coming off a bye week,
right?
And the Chiefs won handedly, right? Even though, the 49ers have their own issues in terms of injuries. Now, I don't think it'll be that to that degree for the Bills, but look, the Bills are a little banged up as well. They're the home team. This is what the entire season has sort of led to for Buffalo in a lot of ways. And, you know, for everyone else in the AFC, even if you're like Cincinnati or the Chargers or obviously the Baltimore Ravens, you are sending all your, you know, Christmas gifts, your send flowers to the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, pleading for them to keep the Chiefs at least in the race, right? Because if they win on Sunday, that theoretically ends the race for the one seed, and now everybody's playing for the two seed to stay away from the Chiefs as far as possible before, you know, we presume the AFC Championship game. So I think the reason why they're underdogs is, hey, they could have lost last week. They should have lost last week to the Denver Broncos. And by the way, at some point, this team has to lose. And don't you want the Bills to win anyway?
No.
Yeah, man, come on. Give us that money. Put that money down on the table. When Patrick Mahomes as an underdog is usually the wrong side to put the money on.
He's 11-3. Now, I just received the text from our friend Jimmy Gaffney, Bills fan here in Kansas City. He goes, well, actually, you know, with the 3 points at the home team, so the Chiefs are technically the favorite. Do you guys buy the 3 points anymore for the home team? Is that still a thing? And if that's the case, are the Chiefs really the kind of underdog favorite, if you will?
That is a wonderful point. And so I do appreciate that, because if you're a sharp bettor, if you're someone who's really analyzing the data and obviously how the line is going to move, right? Because I think it originally opened at like
plus one.
Maybe Bills. Yeah, plus one. Now it jumps up a little bit. Obviously, that is sort of depending on how the money is is swinging from one side to the next. From a sharp betting perspective, yeah, you could say, hey, this is actually in line with more of a pick'em game, or yes, Kansas City's kind of the favorite because we feel like this will be a close game. And again, historically, at least for this season, when the Chiefs are in close games, they usually win, which means as of this point, you would probably win the bet, even though the Bills are favored by less than a field goal. So, no, that's a very good point. But this just tells us, too, that, like, these are the – I think these are two of the best three teams in the AFC, right? We have to include Baltimore, even though they've had, I think, more – sort of hiccups than the Bills have had this season. And at the same time, too, I do get the sense that, like, both teams want this game to be close, right? You don't want to necessarily show everything because I think you're going to probably see one another down the road in January. And so this is like a lovely, you know, first fight in a round of, you know, maybe two or three where you're like, okay, it's a filling out process, which means one team is probably not going to, like, go balls to the walls. But also because Buffalo is so good at home, as a bettor, you can at least rely upon, hey, Josh Allen and the Bills usually don't get embarrassed at home. But also the Chiefs are very good on the road, and it just makes sense as to why this is probably the most anticipated regular season game of the year.
I think it's interesting, as we talked to Nate Taylor, The Athletic, I kind of dove into some nerdisms of stats, and the Chiefs are number one on third down conversion at a 52% success rate on offense. They're also fifth in the league at giving up only 17 points per game. I guess you'd call it 18 if you round up, but they also are second in the NFL with time of possession. It seems like the boring recipe is the same. Like, I look at the Chiefs and I kind of describe them as like the chocolate chip cookie, right? Like, you're never turning down a chocolate chip cookie, but it's one of the most simplistic, easiest things to win or to make, and yet it always wins. The Chiefs continue to hold onto the ball. They stop teams from scoring, and they convert on third down, which keeps them holding on to the football. They're the chocolate chip cookie of the NFL.
What a great analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to someone who literally had a chocolate chip cookie last night and was thrilled, not disappointed.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Like, even if it's a little, even if it's a little crunchy, like, you know, it goes down to 1 second left in the oven, it's still good. They do the easy, simple things to produce the typical easy product.
Yes, and it's also, I think, something that has been more beneficial to the defense than I think people realize, right? The Chiefs normally do not play from behind, right? That's why it was so impressive what they did on Sunday, even despite the left tackle situation, you know, against the Broncos. Hey, we're down 11 points. It's the biggest deficit of the season, and they just slowly march. You know, they slowly chase the Broncos down. But if you remove that game, the Chiefs have been either tied or leading for the majority of the season, which is one reason why their time of possession actually matters more than, like, say, the average team. Not only are we getting the lead, we're extending the lead, or, hey, if we make a mistake, the next time Patrick Mahomes and the offense gets the ball, we're going right down the field, we're matriculating that thing, we're converting on third down, to your point, Dusty, and we're getting points, whether it's 7 or 3. And that helps the defense because all of a sudden, now, they're not on the field a ton. I think what was so fascinating about the season opener against Baltimore is they played 80 snaps on defense, and Steve Spagnuolo was like, we can't do that ever again this season. So the offense, even though it could be more explosive, right, even though they could be more efficient, particularly in the red zone when you know they're moving the football this, you know, with this much success, it does give the defense time to rest. It does put the pressure on the opposing team's offense because they have the ball less, you know, a less amount of time. And this may be a big part of the, you know, equation or formula to beating Buffalo is if this has always been the case with Josh Allen. And even though he's still right now my MVP vote, the book on Josh Allen is get him frazzled, get him to speed up, get him to take unnecessary risk, even though you can still, manage the clock in the game in the second half. And that's why he's had trouble, you know, being a little, you know, helter-skelter in a little bit of a frazzled state. Now, it doesn't help when Chris Jones is chasing you either. But I do get the sense that, hey, if the Chiefs have the lead in the third quarter and they've possessed the ball a decent amount more than the Bills, all of a sudden, Josh Allen feels pressure. Maybe he takes a risk or a gamble that he doesn't necessarily have to in that moment, but it could be the difference between why you win and why you lose, even though that play did not happen necessarily in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs are one of the best third-quarter teams, because they find what your weakness is, they start to exploit it, and then they also, again, to your point, just keep handing the ball to Kareem Hunt for 4 yards. Keep passing the ball to Travis Kelce for 7. And eventually, the other quarterback feels like he has to go above and beyond what is normally the case. And that usually means you're leading yourself to more mistakes, which the Chiefs usually capitalize on.
Talking with Nate Taylor, The Athletic, and we were talking earlier about Andy Reid, and you know, the Coach of the Year stuff keeps coming up, and he's clearly the Coach of the Year in the NFL. Anybody else would be uncivilized. And when I look at, you know, what Andy's been able to do, and the reason why he's Coach of the Year is because when they started training camp to where they are right now, like literally everything they worked on in training camp is like, that we're not using any of that. Hollywood's hurt, Rashi Rice is hurt, Pacheco went down. This team is still 9-0, and they're 9-0 because of Andy Reid. And I'm tired, Nate, and you can relay this to all your voters out there that you may know. I'm tired of people taking Andy Reid for granted around this league.
Yeah, but he's a staple now. It's so unfortunate, and you make a great point, Bob, about like, hey, there's no way else that, like, who I think there's only one coach in the league who could maybe replicate what Andy Reid and his coaching staff have done. And I think he is probably one of the leading candidates for Coach of the Year, right? I know some people will say, hey, Detroit's had a marvelous season. Everybody loves Dan Campbell. From a personality standpoint, he's obviously in the mix. I think the only coach who could do what Andy Reid has done to a similar degree is Mike Tomlin.
I agree, 100%.
Because I think the reason Mike Tomlin might win the award, more so than Andy Reid, is Mike Tomlin don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
That's the only difference, kids. He somehow got Justin Fields to be less turnover prone and then was like, great job, kid. Eat this clipboard. We're putting Russell Wilson back onto the field, who, by the way, had to be humbled quite a bit over the last 2 years. And we're going to actually – I'm going to train and, you know, reposition my team to be most efficient for Justin Fields. And then in the middle of the season, guess what we're going to be, guys? We're going to be a watered-down version of the Legion of Boom Seahawks, which means, hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to pass rush our asses off. And, Russ, I just need two throws over the top to make the other defense honest. And we got enough skill position players that they're going to catch those balls more than the 50-50 ratio allows. So, with all that said, maybe Mike Tomlin gets the Steelers or the Chiefs if you want to switch swap rosters to like 8-1, 9-0. Here's what Andy Reid doesn't get enough credit for, and I actually wrote about it today in The Athletic, through the lens of DeAndre Hopkins, right? DeAndre Hopkins is a great player. He's been doing this for 11 years, and he acknowledged to us yesterday, nah, man, it's different. Like, there's a standard. Andy is very detail-oriented. He's asking me questions about the entire concept of the play on day one. Like, hey, man, I just got the playbook. Hey, do you understand everything that's going on? Not just your assignment, not just what you and the quarterback are supposed to do, but, like, do you know the protections? Do you know the timing of everything? Are you aware of, like, hey, if Travis Kelce starts to ad-lib, he can either manipulate the defense or it can actually give you more space to work on your route to give yourself more time to be available for Patrick Mahomes? I know DeAndre Hopkins is good, guys, but their offense is really, really complicated. And in 3 games, he now leads all Chiefs receivers in receiving yards in the past 3 games. It's nuts. But that comes down to literally coaching, having the right play calls, knowing what to build on from week one to week two, and then obviously getting the quarterback to not be a frazzled lunatic out there. Guys, I cannot remind you enough that Patrick Mahomes does not have his top 3 receivers when the season began. His left tackle is a different person literally in the middle of the game, okay? And sometimes you're going to have a deflection that turns into an interception. Sometimes you're going to have your rookie wide receiver fall down, and it's going to lead to an interception. Sometimes you're going to throw a perfectly gorgeous ball on the sideline, and your rookie wide receiver runs out of bounds. Or he will run the actual right route, and because, again, you've been dealing with an ankle injury, you're frazzled, hell, do I have protection, do I not? You overshoot a pass, and it doesn't even land in the field. It lands out of bounds, so you miss that opportunity for a touchdown. Andy Reid still gets Patrick Mahomes to accept the grind, you know, be willing to make the right decision, even though it may not work more times than not. And guess what? If you're struggling, I will find the right play for you, for Travis, for Kareem, for DeAndre. Again, half these guys ain't even been here for training camp, and they're still undefeated because they have a good defense. And as Andy Reid said on Sunday, I mean, look, they still go through the little things, right? Hey, we're gonna work on field goal block because you never know, because everything matters in this game, because there's so many ways to win, there's so many ways to lose, and my job is to not make you feel like you weren't prepared. So he teaches the coaches how to coach. He is a master of how to get guys motivated. And then also when your quarterback is dealing with chaos, he is an addition to the problem solving more so than, hey, I'm just a guy that says, hey, go out there and try to make it work.
No doubt. Nate Taylor, The Athletic, real quick before you get out of here, you're starting a franchise tomorrow in the NFL. You can't say Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, who do you take?
Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, almost to a point, is indestructible. Whereas, sadly, Joe Burrow,
that's a good point,
gets hurt, and I just...
You're welcome.
And here's another thing, too. With T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase, I think half the quarterbacks in the league could have similar statistics. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has nobody, guys. Nobody. He does not have a DeAndre Hopkins. He does not have a Travis Kelce, okay? Hell, he don't even have an Xavier Worthy. The dude is so good, guys. When he's right and you add the running element and the fact that, like, he can take on hits and, as again, finished seasons, which, again, Joe Burrow has not at times because he has an injury history. It's unfortunate. But when you put all those things into the mix, I'm just like, okay, the Chiefs did this in 2022. Hey, let's take away some of the best top of the offense so that we can actually balance the roster out and get younger at certain positions. Well, the Buffalo Bills just did that this offseason, ladies and gentlemen. They are, again, still chasing the Chiefs, but replicating what the Chiefs did in their success in 2022 and 2023, where they trusted the quarterback to say, like, hey, man, you can get us through a season. We can give you, like, B-minus players, maybe C-plus skill position players, and he's so good that, guess what, kids are 8-2, and they're still in the mix. And even though I thought it was going to be a down year, Josh Allen right now is my MVP because he is making the most with the least amount of skill position players at playing at that high of a level, not named Patrick Mahomes.
Well, Nate, we appreciate it. You know, keep replicating your success from child one to child two and everything that goes well with that. We wish you nothing but the best and enjoy the in-season Super Bowl that is Buffalo, Kansas City this Sunday at 325.
Yes, sir. Can't wait. I guess I got to eat these buffalo wings before the game.
And chocolate chip cookies.
Yep.
All right. Take care, Nate.
See you, Nate.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. I'll piggyback on what's something that Nate said, plus a stat that's going to blow Bob's mind. On the other side, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Bob, do you want a stat that I think will blow your mind?
Sure.
So Nate Taylor said that the Chiefs' defense and time of possession is key.
That's right.
Here's why. In the second half, in 9 games this season, the Chiefs are giving up, on average, 7.4 points per game.
Yep. They're not scoring in the second half. It is lockdown central. Yeah.
So
the reason I didn't go, whoa, because I did see that somewhere else earlier week. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In the second half, I just did those numbers myself. I'm proud of that.
Yeah. I saw that somewhere, like the Chiefs are averaging, you know, whatever it was, a small number in the second half. It's crazy.
They give up 7.4 points a game in the second half, and they have 2 shutouts on the year in the second half. One of them was to the Chargers. Mm-hmm. The other one was, I believe, last week.
And then we still have people going, what's wrong with the Chiefs?
They're just playing six. It's like I told Nate.
They're not playing the way you want to play. They're the chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. Right? Like, you're not turning it down. No one's ever like, ugh, chocolate chip. Like, I mean, you go to Crumble Cookie, right? Or where your daughter works at
Twisted Sugar.
Right? Like,
peanut butter Nutella.
That's cool, but like, it's not always available. But what's always available is what the Chiefs are giving you, which is you could be a team that controls time possession. You can be a team that doesn't allow points, and you can be a team that's successful on third down, because all of those benefit each other. Just like brown sugar, regular sugar, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of baking soda, a little bit of salt, chocolate chips, boom. It's easy. It's simplistic. It's good. No one's
against
it. That's
salty and sweet, though. You didn't like salty.
I told you I'm contradicting. I told you I'm contradicting. But I just think it's crazy that, like, if the Chiefs have the lead going into the second half, your chances are astronomically higher to win the game. That's why they're 9-0. It doesn't, you know, it's not Detroit. It's not Baltimore where it's like, oh, it's, you know, 21-21 going into the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden Detroit scores back-to-back, you know, 50-yard-plus touchdowns because they can do that. It's the Chiefs get the ball in the second quarter, and it's like, God, are we ever going to get the ball back? They have the ball for more than half the game. They have a 52% success rate on third down. Not only that, they don't allow points. They don't allow rushing yards because you don't run against the Chiefs because you're frantic, which that's the other thing. If you're not allowing second-half points and you're controlling the ball, you're now pressing the other team to become a pressing team.
You better score early against the Chiefs, and we've seen that all season long. Teams score on that first possession. That's fine. Whatever. You score seven. Big deal. You're down 7-0. Then Spags figures out, okay, this is what you want to do today. Fine. We'll counteract that and take care of business and not let you in the end zone for the rest of the afternoon. And, you know, that's why the Chiefs to me are just like the premier team in the NFL, because while people are complaining about, you know, not having the over the air numbers that they're used to from 2018, this is a team that continually reinvents itself and continually gets better and continually changes the way that they do business. And that's what you have to do in this league. If you stay the same, you're not getting better in this league. They're always getting better. And again, I just continue to make the point for Andy Reid being coach of the year, because he's put in place a staff that adjusts. He put in place a staff that can coach. He put in place a staff that knows how to do these in-game adjustments that so many teams are not good at, and they still find ways to win these football games. And so you better score early against this team, and you better score often early, because the second half rolls around, you don't stand a chance against the Chiefs, and they're just doing it differently. Does it make it any better or worse than, you know, watching a team score 40 points a game? No. A win's a win in this league, no matter how you have to do it. And this league has drastically changed since Patrick Mahomes came onto the scene and was throwing for 500 yards a game when he first got here in 2018.
I thought it was kind of interesting to see somebody do something nice for somebody, because you never know what it could do. It could change their month, day, week, or year. Leo Chenal blocks the kick last week, and the story comes out on New Heights. Travis Kelce shares a story that he gave Leo Chenal game-used jersey, signed it, gave a message, and Leo Chenal's response was, dude, this is awesome. Even though he's on the field with him and spends almost every day of his life with the guy, he kind of broke him down a little bit more. It was like, you were somebody that I idolized growing up, which is crazy to think how much Travis Kelce has been in the league. Leo Chenal in his third year.
We talked about it yesterday. Most of these guys don't know Andy coached the Eagles.
Right. And Leo Chenal grows up, you know, obviously I think he went to Wisconsin for college. He goes out there. He's watching Travis Kelce play football. Loves watching Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce gives him a game-used jersey the day he blocks a game-winning field goal kick with a heartfelt message. And you see an athlete do that, and it makes me think, like, if you were in Leo Chenal's, you know, area, or like in his world, right, you're not the athlete, but let's say you get this gift, who's an athlete that you would love someone to give you like a game used jersey and sign it, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever?
Yeah, I actually had this opportunity. It was years ago at spring training, and it was George Brett. And he knew that I grew up idolizing Don Mattingly. And so we were sitting around batting practice at spring training one day or whatever, and he was down on the field talking to Don Mattingly, who was managing the Dodgers, and I was kind of up in the stands. It was early. There was nobody there. Mm-hmm. And he screams at me, "Get down here, Fesco, right now. You're going to be Don Mattingly." And I'm like,
the sweaty palms start happening. Like,
and I got to meet Don Mattingly. And that, so I understand from that standpoint.
Mustache whisker?
He didn't have it at that time. I understand, like, Leo Chenal and what he's going through. Like, you get the opportunity to meet your hero, right, growing up, or you get the opportunity to, like, Leo Chenal play with a guy that you idolized growing up. That's really, really cool. So I kind of have that moment. Not that I blocked a kick or anything fun like that. I was just sitting there being fat and, you know, got summoned. I'm like, I got to walk down here. But really, really, really cool moment. And I'll always kind of like, oh, George, that one. Like, that was really cool. Like, George Brett is introducing me to Don Mattingly. Think about that for a second. That was crazy, man. Who's yours?
I have two that are actually a real life one, but if I could get one, I would love like a Seattle Mariners hat signed by Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh,
it's like, thanks for being a fan. Enjoy the show. Signed, Ken Griffey Jr. I would just never touch it. It'd be up in a... I got HBK's autograph. That is Shawn Michaels from the WWE or WWF back in the day. Mm-hmm. He came and did like a meet and greet. My stepmom surprised me with a signed Shawn Michaels. I still have it to this day. In fact, it is in the back of the book with two other autographs. I have Derek Thomas's autograph.
Oh, nice. That's a
on
good
a profile
one.
Picture.
Yeah.
They used to do this thing back in Blue Springs on 7 Highway. and they would just have like Chiefs players would come out, like the Chiefs players would come out and they would sign autographs, yeah. right? Like shout out to Travis Kelce going to Hy-Vee this week. I saw the turnout was amazing, doing pictures of everybody. Leo.
I remember standing in grocery store lines as a kid getting autographs of random NFL players.
Right, yeah. And my dad and I went and saw Derek Thomas, and I still have the photo. It's signed. And then the other one involves my dad as well. We went to the Royals game. I've told this story 100 times, but we went to the Royals game, Cal Ripken's last time at Kauffman. Mm-hmm. And my dad, kind of one of those grown-up moments for me, even though I was young, he's like, go get his autograph. He'll be down at that dugout. Just go stand there and hold that book up. And I had his biography, and it's Cal on Cal. And he goes through all these people.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That have like license plates, baseballs, Royals hats.
He signed everything, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I was like, Mr. Ripken, it's my birthday. I was like turning like 9 years old. And I was like, it's my birthday. He's like, I'll get to you, kid. Whole world stops. Complete silence. And I'm like, oh my God, Cal Ripken just talked to me. Picks me up on top of the dugout. I've got one of those old winding cameras, and I just start taking shots of his face. I'm just he opens it up, signs it, just Cal Ripken, shuts it, and says, how long have you been a fan? I was like, my whole life. He goes, well, that's not very long. And I was like, yeah, I still enjoy watching you play. Congratulations on the record that you broke. I go back to my seat. I'm white as a ghost. My dad goes, well? And I just didn't say a word, didn't even look at him, just handed him the book. He opens it up, and I can still smell the fresh Sharpie come out. My dad just goes, does just like laugh. He's like, how freaking cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I was like, I got Cal Ripken's autograph. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I'm not really an autograph guy anymore. Like, I'd love like a Bobby Witt Jr. signed jersey.
Certain things you'd like to have. Like, don't be one of those creepers that stands outside the stadium.
No.
One of the coolest moments I saw. And
kid. I think if you're a kid,
fine. But I'm talking about the adults. Yeah. Oh, no, the guys are losers with a capital L. I was out there one time walking in or whatever, and I don't remember who the hell it was, right? And it's a bus. They drop off half the team or whatever, and all these guys are like, would you sign? And the guy gets off the bus. Again, I wish I remembered who it was. Looks at this loser with his book of baseball cards and goes, if you can tell me who I am, I'll sign.
That's pretty good.
And the guy had no clue.
Somebody says, Will Shields, when I was a little kid, we went to the River Falls for training camp, and he stayed late just to talk to me about football questions that I wanted to ask him.
That's awesome. If you got a chance to go to River Falls back in the day, that was the place to go because everybody was right there. You could get right close to the field. There was not a lot of people up there. It was great for autographs back then.
We bring it back up before we get into more Chiefs content, but we have to bury a name that we don't longer talk about, or we or Mac or you will be fined, and then we get to drink on your dime. We bury the name. Coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.